In Revelation chapter 20, we've come to the place at the matter of Jesus coming back to this earth at the second coming of Christ. This is not the rapture where he comes as a thief in the night. This is the second coming where he comes all the way back to the earth. At that time, we fight the battle of Armageddon, and we clean up a lot of the things that happened during the tribulation period. The lost have been destroyed at the judgment of Christ at this time. And now we're beginning a new kingdom, a new work that God has promised and that been telling us about in his word. Satan was bound for 1,000 years. He wasn't put in hell. He was put in the bottomless pit. And he goes to hell at the end of the world, but not at this particular time. Well, the 1,000 years are over with. And so Satan is being loosed out of his bottomless pit. And so in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, this is telling us we've had 1,000 years of the reign of Christ. Just prior to that, we had 7 years, or they had 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And to begin that is the what we call the rapture. That's all in the future. Regardless of what man might do or think he can do, regardless of the storms that might come and it feels like the world is going to fall apart, we know that the end of the world will not come tomorrow. It will not happen in 7 years. It will not happen until at least 1,007 years, and it could be a little longer. And so here we find at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed, and then in verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them. Let me get that scripture up on the screen. There we go. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. During that 1,000 years, you have a lot of children that are born and are lost. They need to be one to the Lord. That'll be our responsibility, and not only now, but then as well, and seeing that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ and encourage them to make that decision. Some will, but many won't. These will follow Satan at the end of the 1,000 years. They listen to his deceit, and they are ready to go up and fight against Jesus and us at Jerusalem. And so in the next verse, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now that beloved city is talking about Jerusalem. During the 1,000 years, Jesus rules from Jerusalem on David's throne. And now Satan has gathered those who are not saved to go up again and to try to destroy Jesus and those of us who are following him. The devil just cannot learn the lesson. He's not going to win regardless of what is there. There's no battle. He gathers them and ready for a battle, but God brings down fire from heaven. Man doesn't make this fire. God is the one who makes it. And when God sends fire, it's fire. And they are destroyed, not only the devil, but also the lost. They're cast into the lake of fire. And we find in verse 10, that the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, let me just remind you, hell is not the domain of Satan. He does not rule hell. He's not in charge of hell. Hell is to punish him. He's to be punished there. He doesn't want to go there, but he'll be there for all of eternity. So now we have the 1,000 years over with. The devil is turned loose. He deceives the nations. He go up to a battle. Fire comes down from God out of heaven to devour them. And so as we look at our solar system and we see our sun, the planets, at this particular time, fire comes down from heaven and there they are destroyed, and at this time the earth is destroyed. And we'll be looking at that a little bit more in detail. If I can get it on down the line. I think we hung up there. Yep. Braden, if you'd help on that and get us off a high center. There we go. And not only that, we find this solar system is totally destroyed and wiped out. All right, let's see if I can get to the next one. Nope. Go ahead with the next slide. So in verse 11 now, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them." If you want to turn that around where you can see that laptop, go ahead and do that. And here we find at this time, at when Satan is destroyed and the lost are destroyed, those who came out of the thousand-year reign, then God destroys the entire world, and the great white throne is set up. It's not made over. In this, you'll notice that when the great white throne is set up, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. It doesn't exist anymore. And that, and so you'll have the destruction of the earth. All right, you're going to need to go to the next slide. Here's the great white throne judgment. And it is destroyed or removed. 2 Peter gives us a little bit of an idea about this. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens which were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Now here the word perish and used in the matter of the life on the earth is destroyed. The life is done away with. But the earth still remains. This is at the flood of Noah. I know some of those in Texas think the flood's about to happen again. But our pastor this morning talked about the rainbow. And the world will not be destroyed by water. And it will be destroyed by fire. But at that particular time, in which the Bible talks about it being perished, simply meaning the life on the earth was perished, the way of life and the things that was on the earth was destroyed by the flood. The flood is a very powerful, destructive agent. And it did. And then after the flood, you had Noah and his wife and the three sons and their wives that went through this. Now, during that flood, Noah was in the ark. Only that which was in the ark would live. The rest of them died, was done away with. Only those in the ark. This destruction that we're going to have at the end of the world is not like that. It's not a matter of making the earth over, remodeling it, or changing it. It is a total, complete destruction. Nothing is left of it at all. And we have some information on that. Again, if you look at verse 7. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now, we've had different times when God would during the flood, wiped everybody out, started over again. And this time, he's not going to just wipe everybody off the earth and start over again on this earth. It'll be a new earth and a new heaven. In verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, as we read a while ago, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." Now, just this verse itself, regardless of the others, but just this verse, it says, when the great white throne is set up and the face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there's found no place for them. If it wasn't destroyed by fire, it's dissolved. I mean, there's no place for it. It doesn't exist anymore, is the reality of that verse. It's not redone, made over like it was at the flood. It simply doesn't exist any longer. And so as we see the great white throne judgment, and then the solar system is totally wiped out. There's nothing left here of what we had before. It's totally gone. Now in 2 Peter 3:10, 2 Peter 3:10, we'll look a little bit more about the destruction at the end of the world. And verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now that's not a forest fire. That's not a brush fire. That is a fire from God in which the elements literally melt and the earth is burned up. Then it goes on to say, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. When something is dissolved, it doesn't exist anymore. It's done away with. When we see all these shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness, holy conversation and godliness? This should challenge us to realize how serious this hour is. The day is coming when this world will not exist anymore. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time we need to have that strong witness and bring others to a saving knowledge of Christ. The next verse says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall, heavens being on fire, shall be dissolved. It's not a matter of just having a flash of fire, flash or go across the heavens on that, and then if you were inside, maybe you were protected from it. No, it's dissolved. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is not a pleasant time. It's not a makeover. It is a total, complete destruction that is there. And so you have our solar system, then you have the fire coming down from heaven, there we go, destroying Satan and them, and then this solar system is completely wiped out. I mean, it's burned up with fire from God. When we think about the fire from God, you remember in the Old Testament when Elijah prayed for fire to come and to burn the sacrifice on the altar on Mount Carmel. That fire that came from God was so powerful. It not only burned the meat, it burned the wood, then it burned the stones, it burned the dust, it lapped up the water in the trench, but it did not destroy Elijah or those around. This fire from God is more powerful than anything we can even begin to imagine. Now, as we realize this, and sometimes we think, well, what's the use of doing anything if everything's going to be destroyed? Well, now, wait a minute. That's not the total end. That's the end of this world. But we find that God has, if I can get it up there, well, we'll get to it in a minute. In Revelation 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, as we look for a new heaven and a new earth. And so when this earth is destroyed, and our solar system, I can get it. Here we go. Now we find this is, what up? I've got good news for you. Though this is wiped out, God has something for us here. If I can get it going. Would you press that? There we go. Okay. In this cosmos, there are galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies. What we have here in the Milky Way is just the tip of the iceberg. There are billions, trillions, ex-trillions, I mean numbers we can't even begin to count, that God has in the entire cosmos. As they decided one time, as you look at the stars in heaven, you might see a blank area, a dark area, no stars in it, but stars around in different places. You have a lot of those places in there. So they decided to put the Hubble telescope on one of those areas that seemed to be blank, no stars in it. They left it focused there and exposed it to where the light, if there was any light that we couldn't see, it would come out on the film, on that telescope. It came out with more stars than what you see there. In the areas that seem to be nothing, there's more there than what we even see now today. God is the creator of all of this. Now, at the time this earth and our solar system is destroyed, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And where that will be, we don't have any idea. Some think it will be in the same place where we are today. I mean, God could choose a place anywhere in his cosmos, and he'll set up his new kingdom there. He'll move his heaven from wherever it is now. He'll move his throne, and he'll move it in the new Jerusalem to this new earth. And only the saved will be on that new earth. No lost people will ever be there. We'll talk about that next week as we get into that. But right now, as we look at the destruction of the earth, and know, and we want to look a little forward to the new earth, I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, we have a timeline, very clear. Before the earth is destroyed, we have the thousand-year reign of Christ. And then when the thousand years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, as we read a while ago, and will go out and deceive the nations throughout this world. Gog and Magog will be developed again and be against God. And they'll go up to battle to try to destroy what God is doing here on the earth after the thousand years. And verse 9, they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God, or from heaven, devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then we see the great white throne judgment. Now, this is a time period. This does not happen when Jesus comes back at the second coming. Now, we have a lot of people who believe that when Jesus comes back at the second coming, that'll be the end of the world. The end of the world will not happen at the second coming of Christ. It will not happen until after the second coming of Christ. And it'll happen 1,000 years, at least 1,000 years, after the second coming of Christ, will you have the end of the world. So you don't need to be afraid of any battle. You don't need to be afraid of any storm that might come our way. We find that what will happen, as we've seen already from the scriptures, the history of our earth in the matter of the Old Testament, of Abraham, and of course going back to Adam and then coming up to Abraham where the promise was made, he would have a great nation, which is Israel. Christ came the first time. Not to fulfill the promise of Abraham at that time, but fulfill the promise that he made with Adam and Eve, and that we would be redeemed from our sins by the blood of Jesus as he would down the cross for our sins. During the church age, which we are now, we've had a lot of things happen in our world, and many people thought the world was coming to an end. And many would predict that the world would be coming to an end. If we have another war, that'll be the end of the world. I mean, all kinds of things. Everybody kept thinking the end of the world could happen within the next few moments or within a few years. It won't happen. Well, you see, first of all, it won't happen before the rapture. The rapture will happen before the world will come to an end. At the time of the rapture, the world will not come to an end. The lost will think that it will. People disappear. Graves are open. They'll think that this is the end of the world. And we've reached that point. No, it's not the end. Following the rapture, they will go through a period of tribulation such as this world has never seen or ever will see after that, and praise God for that. There are events that happen during the tribulation period that you would almost be assured that the world was coming to an end. Every event, they would just think, this is it. The world's coming to an end, but it will not come to an end. Now, you might have a great destruction. We might come to the place even before the rapture, that we have some weapons now that could make Oklahoma a lake, but it will not destroy the world. Asteroids could hit the earth. There can be natural disasters, but it will not destroy the earth. The earth will not be destroyed at that time. Then we have at the conclusion of that, the tribulation period, we have the details given in the seven seal book. We have the second coming of Christ. There, they really think that the world's coming to an end, the lost will. Of course, we're coming back with Jesus in our resurrected body. You'll have those who are saved during the tribulation period that will go into the thousand-year reign in the same bodies that we've got now. They'll have children, and their children will have children and so on for 1,000 years. But at that second coming of Christ, the people wail. They don't rejoice and say, the king is coming. They wail. We're talking about the lost. Why? Because they will be destroyed at that time. You'd think the world was coming to an end. But the world will not come to an end there. We will be on this earth for 1,000 years. We will be with Abraham and Isaac. We will be with David, Ezekiel, and Daniel. We'll be with all of the Old Testament saints. We'll be with our loved ones. We'll be with the great preachers that's gone on before us and others who've gone on before us. We'll come back and live with them for 1,000 years. The earth will not come to an end until after the 1,000 years, after Satan is loosed. Then the earth comes to an end. It will not be made over. It will not be remodeled like it was at the flood, in that though life was destroyed off of it, still the earth was here. At that time, it will not exist. It will totally be wiped out. Then you'll have the new heaven and the new earth. Let me see if I can back that. Yeah. You'll have the new heaven and the new earth that God will create for us. It's not something he already has. He said, I'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And so we can have the assurance that the earth is not coming to an end tomorrow or within a few years. Regardless of what might happen, it will not come to an end for many years from now. Well, what are we to do with this? As we know that the world will be destroyed and totally not exist, you can find no place for it. Of course, we know about the new heaven and the new earth. When it is destroyed, the great white throne, it doesn't exist, no place is found for it. God will create a new heaven, a new earth. He'll move the new Jerusalem where it's at in heaven now to that. His throne will be there. We'll live on this new earth for all of eternity. Now let's look and see what this should do to us and what's the result of this. If you'll go ahead and go to the next slide. Go to the next one. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. One thing this should cause us to realize, our loved ones need to be saved now. Our friends need to be saved now. Whether the world's coming to an end now or not, we know it's not, but their end could come today. They could have a heart attack. They could be killed. They could have accidents. There are thousands of things that could happen to them that would end their stay on this earth. If they're not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they'll spend all of eternity in the fires of hell. And so this should cause us to examine our lives and be sure that we're right with God and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul also, according to the wisdom that God are given unto him, has written unto you, knowing that each day that we have is a day of grace. This is not only true about the end of the world, it's true about the rapture. Sometimes we think with all that's going on and I see everything that's happening today, I said, Lord, come on now. I'd like to get out of this mess. But what about our loved ones? What about our friends? What about those that's in the hurricane now in Texas? The lives that are in danger, not only has been but will be. Are they saved? Are they children of God? Or will they spend an eternity without God? This is a serious time. This is the day of salvation for others. Now in Luke chapter 21, Jesus tells us, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeitings and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. Now, this is talking about the rapture. It could also, in the matter of saying, well, this world's going to come to an end. I tell you, we need to quit playing around. We're so busy with other things that we're not even doing what, come close to doing what God wants us to do. One of the things that always bothered me as a pastor, and as I would try to get people to be faithful to God, try to get them to witness, try to get them to live the life that is there, and wanted to get them to help us in our service, to teach a class or to help build a place or to do whatever needs to be done. As I would go out and try to enlist people, they said, well, I'm too busy. When I get through with this, I'll maybe help you with that. I've just moved here, and I've got to get everything settled before I get involved. Jesus said, you take heed to that your heart might not be overcharged with fretting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. We're busy about a lot of things, but not about God. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's dealing with the rapture. They'll deal with those for the second coming, and the same thing it will be at the end of the world during the thousand-year reign. Then we find in verse 36, Jesus said, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you ready to stand before Jesus? Are you ready to stand at the judgment seat of Christ? In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that is now high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Do you know what time it is now? It's time for Jesus to come. The rapture could happen right now. Are you ready? What should this do to us? What about our friends, our loved ones? It says we're to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The evil is far spent. And boy, we see that today of the evil getting stronger and stronger every moment of every day. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's time for Jesus to come and to take us out. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. When I think about that, to put on the armor of light means to be truthful and honest. What a revival we would have if every child of God would simply be truthful. Think about that. Oh, I don't lie. Need to examine some of your conversation. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. And then other things come in, and you're not there. It's got to where even we don't expect ourselves to carry out what we might say we'll do in that. Oh, what a revival we'd have if we would really be truthful, if we would really be serving Him. He goes on to say that, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And I think about not just the lost, but about God's people. Why aren't we winning others to Christ? Why aren't we filling the churches? Why aren't we out and bringing others in? Most of God's people today are more interested in entertainment than worshiping God. We're involved in the things of the world, but not in the things of God. Knowing the time, we need to quit playing around and quit playing church and get down to business as we serve Him. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This is serious time. Not because the world's coming to an end. No, because Jesus could come today. The world will not come to an end until after we have reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years on this earth. So forget about that. And think about the coming of Christ, the rapture. And then the second coming. And at the second coming, that's not the end of the world. There'll be 1,000 years after that. And then during that 1,000 years, you need to remember that the world will be destroyed. Those who are not saved will be cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity. We need to have our lives right and be that witness and testimony that God would have us to be, that others might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The question is this now, not only for others, but for yourself. Have you really prayed and asked God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus? In Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you really prayed and asked God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus? Have you really believed that Jesus died for you and was buried and raised again the third day? If you haven't, you're not saved. You've got to do this in order to be saved. He went on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Oh, with our heart, we'll try to do the right thing. But the commitment comes when we verbally confess Jesus as Lord. Are you really committed to Him? Or have you tried to buy an insurance policy? You'll go to church to pay the debt. You'll do other things to try to pay it off now and then. Might show up here and there. You see, that's what your friends are thinking. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but that's what your friends are thinking. You need to realize that. And if you're not serious about serving God, if you're not serious about getting in the Word of God, why should they be serious? If you don't think Jesus is coming tomorrow and you're not getting your life right with Him and that, why should they? You see, what we do has a great impact upon those around us. And I pray that God will bring that upon your heart, burden you with a lost soul that you might come to the altar and intercede for them. Burden you with what you're going on in your life, that you would get it right with Him so that you'd not be a hindrance to God, but allow God to work through you and to show the love of God in your heart and your love to Him in wanting to worship and serve Him. What a privilege we have of being used of God to reach a lost, dying world. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.